Who are you and how can I help you? Amazing question. Amazing intention that can come from you as a salesperson. How you can take any conversation, any meeting, and just keep that front of mind. Who are you and how can I help you? When you have that at the core, your actions are going to change. Your nervousness is going to change. Your energy is going to change. Because what's the opposite of that is, who am I and how can you help me? Very different. And I think a lot of salespeople operate from that mindset. It's like, do you know who I am? And how can you help me? How can you help me get what I want, which is commission, the moolah, the money? I want a new jacuzzi. I want a sauna. Infrared saunas come out. I want a new sauna. And that's the shift you've got to make as a master salesperson. That's the shift you've got to make is you just stop focusing on you and what can help you and how someone can give you what you want and what's in it for you. I think more than what's not in it for you, that there's always commission in it for you, right? There's always money in it for you. There's always expansion, reputation. I want to have more reputation. I want to be more respected. I want to have the win so I can brag about it internally. There's always going to be that, right? But that energy, pretty low vibe. There's some of it there that's really good for competition, right? There's really good for riling you up and going, I'm going to show these guys what I'm made of. And that's fine. There's a healthy dose of that. But at the core of it, what are we talking about? We're talking about energetic states in sales. Like, if I'm focused on helping you get what you exactly want, I'm a good person to know for you. I'm a great person for you to know if I can help you get what you want. But what about all the rubbish that's in your head? What about all the limiting beliefs? What about all the fact that you think I'm trying to sell you because I'm going to get commission or I'm going to get respect internally or I just want to close you because you're a big brand and that's going to be amazing things for my business? It's like it's at loggerheads. It's in conflict with what I'm trying to do, which is help you. So how can I help you? Well, first I need to influence you. How do I influence you? Well, first I need to find out what's going on. So how do I find out what's going on? Well, I've got to ask you. Because really, sales is all about change. It's all about the transfer of belief. If I believe that I know how to solve you, I'm the trusted consultant. But at this stage, I'm not anyone. I'm just a guy on the phone or in your face going, hey, if you've got some business, I'm sniffing around. Is there something we can do here? Because I'm going to retroactively fit what I've got into what you need. No, that's what the fear is. It's like, if I pick up the phone or I have a meeting with you, you're going to try and sell me on what you've got because that's going to make you money and I don't really need it. But that wouldn't work very well, would it? That wouldn't be a world worth living in. It'd be full of dodgy partnerships and just stuff that doesn't work. No one would do any business if that was the case. The fact is we know that that's going on and it reeks of desperation. It's not nice to be involved with. But we also know that excellent business is done and that there are top salespeople that will sell in any economy. But how do they do it? Because they're not tricking people. People aren't stupid. They know and see you coming a mile off if you are like that. If you're a shark type seller, they see you coming a mile off and you're not going to get any business done. Or you're going to do some business, but you're never going to do business again with that person. So people aren't stupid. So what happens with top salespeople? How do top salespeople take the same situation and get the person to really basically book their biggest order yet? How does that happen? How does something like that happen? It happens because you understand the dynamics of what's at play here. It's all about change, psychology, human behavior. That's what it's about. And the fact is I'm trying to say you need to change. Change why? Change to get what I've got. If I just say that to you, you're going to oppose that view. You're going to be quite resistant. You're like, I don't need to change. Okay, well, what would help you change? What would help you change if I could identify a problem that you have, and then I can show you how big that problem is so that you like, well, actually, I don't want this change. It could be anything. It could be like, if you keep eating donuts and Jammy Dodgers and snacking on snacks, you're going to get diabetes and it's going to come sooner than you think. And this is what it's going to look like. Or you could take this green mix and you could start getting the right supplements into your body on a daily basis. Very easy. It's all in the same formula. It's 52 different ingredients. Boom, 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 boom. You can have this and we could prevent that and you're decreased by 70%. But if I just say that start at that point, person's going to be like, well, no thanks. I got these habits where I like eating donuts, actually. I like who I am. They're resisting. Maybe they don't like who they are, but they're not going to agree with you. You know, oh, yes, thank you. You really revealed to me that I should be eating green supplements and more magnesium in my diet, whatever it is, vitamin D, like whatever story it is that you want to push, they're not going to buy into that yet. Else they'd do it. Why don't they do it? Well, because the pain of change is not as much as the reward of changing. So you've got to make the pain of change a lot bigger. You've got to find that pain point and push on it. But how do I find the right pain point? Well, I've got to ask the right questions. I've got to be able to explore. So you become this person that can investigate and find problems from them. It's a bit like I have a problem right now. I have airplanes flying over this studio. And every time I'm talking, a plane is flying over. So if someone wanted to sell me, right now I've got a pain point, so I'm on it. But what we need to highlight is the fact that over the time that I record, how many times a year am I going to do this? How much time and stoppage is this costing me? What's the efficiency and value of my time? If this stops me 20 minutes per recording, what is that across a year? And what's the number of value that I could have got? And what's the ROI on actually spending some money on some more soundproofing to get the plane noise eradicated forever? If it's $5,000 to do that, but I make $250,000 from the extra 20 minutes a day, whatever it is, you've got a huge reward for very little pain. I'm not thinking about cost because I'm thinking about reward and thinking about what I could do with that extra 20 minutes in my life back because I value my time. It's that, right? So I've got to push on the pain point. Find the pain point and you're only halfway there. Finding the pain point is the skill. And the skill that is to be able to get in there is you've got to be able to help them understand through questions, the right questions to help bring down the resistance in the room, bring down their resistance, because they are thinking, hey, you're here to push some product that I don't need on me. And everyone calls me all the time, every day, trying to push product, trying to push services on me. I'm a busy, busy person. There's stuff going on. I don't really need this. You've got to reduce resistance. So how do you do that? Well, there's a few ways. But firstly, a really good way is if when they object and they're like, hang on, and we can use this sound example. Hang on, $5,000 for a soundboard. How do I know it's going to reduce the plane noise? Like, why do I really need this? Like, I'll just record at a different time of day. I don't think I need to spend $5,000 on soundproofing my studio even more. It's not a big deal. They're objecting, right? So then if you come in and go, $5,000 isn't a lot. Like, this is definitely going to reduce your 10% of people sign up. They say, oh, this is the best thing I ever had. I wish it. You start down that track of trying to prove what they said wrong. I'm not bought into what you're saying. I'm like, well, I still think what I think. And you're here pushing the quality and why this soundproofing is the best in the world. I'm not bought in. But what if I said, you know what, John? You're quite right. You are quite right. I agree. Why would anything cost $5,000? I couldn't believe it either. And then I saw the results. I saw what it did to people that I care about and the results that they've had with their recording studios. And they thanked me because what they realized was they were getting migraines from the stress of actually re-recording, editing, time that had taken. They were getting annoyed and that annoyance was coming off on camera and it was damaging the quality of their videos. So the overall production was reduced. And they thanked me because within 3 weeks, this stuff, they're like, I'm not looking back at best $5,000 I ever spent. I get it. I understand it. I get why you might be thinking that. And pretty much everyone says the same thing. Like at first, they're like, $5,000 on soundproofing. You've got to be kidding me. That's why we get you in. We've got 2 weeks to return it if you don't want it. But what we say is give us a shot. Because once you understand at that time, you're no longer going to have to stop. When you're on a roll, you can get your ideas. And ideas are the greatest currency in the world. Good ideas are the greatest currency in the world. You can impact the most people. And what you're doing, I fully believe in it. What you're doing, and this is why I knew we had to have a conversation, because I was like, if you've got this problem is costing you $200 to $1 million a year. Let me break down the math. Let me show you. And you take them on that journey. Plane's coming. This is a great example. Someone's probably going to comment and sell me some soundproofing equipment here because I need it, clearly, because the time I've chosen to record is right on flight mode. But what I'm saying is, if you go in there and you agree to the objection, it's a very good way to start the question. Answer the question. It's a very good way to answer their question, their objection. You're going to lower the emotional intensity in the room. They're not going to expect it. When you agree with someone, we lean in. Hang on. Did you say agree? I was expecting you to disagree, and I was getting ready to fight and defend my response. But you did something different. You agreed with me, and you told me that I was right to think that. And now I feel understood. I feel like you get me a little bit more. I feel like actually I like you a bit more. Even though you might be saying it, you might not be saying it, I feel like you actually get me, part of me. I feel validated. I feel like, not that I need your opinion to feel validated, but I just feel like, hey, okay, you're being real, and I like that. And because you're being real, I trust you a little bit more. So a bit more open to actually hear and receive what you're saying. Before, I'd be full of resistance and full of preparing my answer to then take you and defend my argument that I just stated, because I made a statement, and that statement flies directly in the face of what you do. Probably triggers you a little bit. But instead, you sidestep the trigger. Boom, no trigger here. And you agree. And that disarmed them. So now you're in this state where you're just two people, disarmed, connecting a bit more, moving forward to trust. Pretty good place to be. But we're not done yet. Because you've got to identify what is the real pain point here. Is it the lack of time, the wasted time? Is it the lack of content? Is it the lack of lives that you didn't impact because you couldn't record because there's planes flying over and you didn't get that equipment? Or is it just a standard to yourself? You're like, well, this is the standard of the production that we put on. This is what we do here. At Castle Enterprises, we have the highest quality production. So of course we invest in this. This is nothing compared to what we're going to produce for people. Lives are going to change. So you're connecting them to an identity, someone's identity. So now I'm thinking, of course, my identity is to have the best of the best. So I want to produce the best content. I want to help the most people. I want to help people really change their lives here, change salespeople's lives, become do what this video says, which is become a master at sales. So it's in my core, it's an identity, it's a value. And the value, I'm now thinking value, quality, what it will do for me, what it will do for the people I care about and how I can serve them better. So I'm not thinking about cost anymore because the cost is negligible because the value vastly outweighs the pain point. And the pain point is going to keep happening. So if I want to change, which I do now because I'm motivated to change, because I've seen what it's costing me, I've seen how it's holding me back, I've seen where it's limiting me. Because of those factors, I'm now motivated to change and I'm open to hear you talk about your solution, which is how we solve the problem. So that's only if I've got the right problem here and I've poked it and I've pushed it and I've made it real. Right, how does it feel actually to have a migraine every day because you're stopping and starting, you're trying to concentrate so hard and focus and you're pretty annoying, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Well, what if that could not be your experience? How could that be possible? Just like this, John. Bang, bang, bang. Quality solution. Testimonials. Definitely testimonials. You want to hear from people that are like you, you've been in your situation, who are backing up why this is the best. Like the diabetes example. Well, which greens should I take? Because there's a lot of supplements out there. I happen to believe that they're not very good. That they just do a little bit of the thing they should be doing, but they're not the full recommended daily dose because that would be too expensive or it wouldn't be possible to put it into a green. It wouldn't taste very good. How can I trust you? Well, I validate that from people I trust in the marketplace. Then I don't need to do my research. If I know someone that I know does a lot of due diligence and research and they've been taking this product for 10 years and they look and feel amazing, they've got lots of energy and they get great sleep at night and they're just like, this product's legit. I have no vested interest, but I know that I've done my research. I'm going to take their word for it because it's going to save me time. And I'm going to go, well, they're buying it. Trust them. The testimonial. Job done. I'm in. I don't want diabetes. Let's take the product. Let's go. Let's give it a test. And because you've got a 30-day cancellation clause or a 30-day money-back guarantee, decrease the risk already. So my habits aren't controlling me. My limitations aren't controlling me. My inertia to say, is this really a good product or is it just a fat profit margin for you posing as a good product? And so do supplements really work? All of those different skeptical messages that your brain's going to throw up. And will I really take it? I'm not looking at all of that now. I'm looking at longevity. I'm looking at the testimonial of someone I trust saying, this is solid. I'm looking at the results of what this could be and the outcomes and who I would be as a person if I started taking this product. And it resonates with who I want to be, my future self. So would I be better off taking this product or not? Well, I don't know, but let's go, because it sounds like I would be. And based on the information to me at hand, this is a really good investment and it's going to save me all of this grief later on in the future. So I'm in. And that's where the solution is presented. And I don't need to present too many details there. If they're already sold, don't keep talking. Don't need to go through it all again. They're already sold. If they're already willing, able, and motivated, don't make it harder. You don't need to keep selling it or extend the sale. Close the sale. Brilliant. Let me send you the paperwork. Sign here, please. Bank details. Now you set up. There we go. And that's the tipping point. Move forward. If they have a tipping point and they're like, well, again, what's the tipping point? Is that it's where a decision needs to be made. If they've got a tipping point and they're throwing out another objection, you use that objection to, again, get back to the pain point, explore again, and remember that that's where you can validate them, make them feel like you're on their side, because you are. You're there to serve. You're there to serve. You're there. How can I help you? Comes out then. Who are you and how can I help you? If you're there for you, it's just like, I want to close you. And that frustration in them having that second objection, that third objection, that last tipping point objection, your frustration is going to show. And they're going to see it. And they're going to be like, you're not really in it for me. You just want to close me because you want that commish. That's not enough. It's not enough. So the real good sellers, the real top sellers are there because they're there for the right. They're there to focus on giving them the absolute right solution. And if they get the sense that, look, what we've got, it's probably not right for you. I'd recommend this, 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 and this. They're not scared to keep recommending somewhere else to go. They're not scared to lose business because it wasn't right. They want to win business because it was right, and they want to get those kind of testimonials. And around it goes. Because I know that if I place the right product that fixes your pain point and I over-deliver on that, you're going to tell other people about it. You're going to be absolutely bought in and loyal, but you're going to be a raving fan, and that's what I want. I want hundreds of raving fans from this, because they're going to bring me thousands of new potential leads. So therefore, it's my duty, it's my responsibility to give you the right thing, to give you what you need to, as the trusted advisor, as you brought down your guard, as we built this relationship. The relationship is so important, because that's what we've got is here is now a long-term relationship. And finally, once the sale is done, depending on how big it is, you want to go and celebrate and give them something. Give them a gift. Move it forward. If you promised a product and you're building something together, give them a prototype, a mock-up. Introduce them to the team that will be taking care of them. Introduce them. Get them further along the process. Show them a draft. Show them a structure, an outline of what you're going to do. Give them a 30-day plan. Like, this is what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. Here's your new team manager. Who's your account manager? It brings the thing forward and makes progress, because what is human nature after we've made a large purchase? What is human nature is we can sometimes start doubting ourselves. We can go, do I really need this? Should I have bought that massive hot tub and infrared sauna right now? Is that what we should be doing? The news says it has a recession coming. Should I really be doing that? Oh, I know there's health benefits, but I could do without it in front of the end. You start doubting it. And that's like a post-sale blues. So you are going to circumnavigate that before it happens, because you're going to be there like organizing and implementing the things that you've sold. Right, we're going to come around here, and here's Debbie. She's going to hook you up. Here's Debbie. She's going to hook you up with the right things. And that is how you close it off, so that you don't ever get near those post-sale blues. You implement, you progress, you build a relationship, you celebrate, and you create raving fans. And that's it. That's job done. Few points there for you to devour on sales mastery.